here's the beautiful thing about it. You can develop an internal motivation. You can develop an internal drive.
Winning habits, winning routines, and a winning mindset.
You're the main character of your own life story.
Welcome to the Susan Sly Project, where entrepreneurs rule, startups launch, and the side hustle becomes the main hustle. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Susan Sly.
All right, everyone. So let's face it. Life is changing. The world is changing. We get it. And some people would love to take the past year and maybe just hide under their duvet with a ball of Merlot and say, screw this. But my guest today is not doing any of that. In fact, check this out. She has been featured in Forbes and Business Insider. She is the founder and CEO of Wellery, which is an anti-diet nutrition app on a mission to make personalized nutrition accessible for all. And as a former holistic nutritionist, I love this. And Wellery is a venture-backed startup based in New York City with a network of over 600 health coaches, nutritionists, and dietitians all over the country. She is a certified health coach and founder of the Movement of the Young Professional Board and a native New Yorker. I love New York. So Emily Hochman, welcome to the show. It's so great to have you.
Thank you so much. That was such a warm welcome. I really appreciate it. And I'm so happy to be here.
Well, let's jump right in. Like one of the first questions I want to ask is there a lot of people, this show goes to, I think, 121 countries. I get a weekly report, so I think it's 121. There are a lot of people who are really paralyzed because of what's happening in the world. And yet you're there getting up every day, building a company. You've got venture backing. What do you want to say to the person who's listening right now and going, Emily, I don't even know how I'm going to like get through today, let alone start a company? What would be the first personal advice you would give?
Everything's temporary. Mm. Today is temporary. If all goes well, tomorrow will be a new day. And just to remember that, you know, I have a lot of bad days too, but when I'm having those bad days, I remember this is all just temporary. We will figure out how to solve this problem. We will get to the next steps that we need to get to. So just remembering for the good or the bad, everything's temporary. I think as a world, we're in a really crazy time right now, but even this is temporary and we will get through it. We have to.
I love that. Everything is temporary. Yeah, it's just that mantra like, hey, this is temporary. It's all temporary. Let me ask you this. How, you know, we're going to talk about the origin story of Wellery in a moment, but like right now, one of the things I love asking my guests is like, what does your day look like?
Depends on the day. I'm sure you get this answer too. Almost every day is different. But my day always starts the same. I'm a really big believer on morning habits. My mornings are always consistent. I wake up, I exercise, I have the same breakfast, I have a matcha. And then I'm at my now desk, my computer, and my day consists of meetings with the team, normally a few meetings with my investors. And then I kind of wear a few different hats at the company right now in between marketing, operations, and really thinking about, you know, what does 2021 look like and starting to actually recruit and hire for a lot of the roles that we're expanding the team with.
Oh, wow. And what time do you go to bed?
Again, it really depends on the day, but I would say I'm always up by 6 and I'm normally in bed by 11.
Awesome. You know, I've done close to 200 interviews now and very highly successful people. And there are some constants and almost every single one of them is an early riser. They're getting up before 7 a.m. I'm part of the, you know, most mornings it's 4:30 in the morning. But unlike you, by 9, I'm like done. I know we're like, but no, say what you were going to say.
You know, it's funny. For me, it depends. There are some days where I'm like, okay, that's it. It's 9 o'clock. Like I need to shut it down. But I would say, you know, on most days I'm probably in bed around 11, 11:30.
Yeah. And it's, I think that I love what you said, because there are different days and different things that happen. Let me ask you this, because again, you know, one of the things that we talk about on the show all the time is this concept of, you know, how does a person manage themselves in time? Right. So in your Jim Rohn once said, you either run your day or your day runs you. So you're growing this massive company. You mentioned you're going to be going and hiring a bunch of new people. Plus you have VCs to answer to. And if anyone has ever had venture-based capital, then, you know, there's a lot that goes on there. So how do you decide what's important and what's not?
Yeah. The first thing I do is I live by my calendar. So my week is mostly booked by the time my Monday starts, because I time block everything. So if it's a meeting, it's already on my calendar, but then I will time block 30 minutes to focus on hiring, you know, 30 minutes to work on our marketing campaign, 30 minutes to do emails and get back to everyone, 30 minutes to call, you know, our board member. So for me, I like to try to plan as much in advance. And so I'll live by my calendar. And when it's work time, I actually schedule that in. So I make sure to really group my efforts together so I can try to be as productive as possible.
I love that. Like, time blocking is so essential, right? And it's very tough for our brains to go, okay, I'm doing this and then I'm doing something totally different. So blocking, and that's amazing advice for anyone, is just blocking that one focus thing. And then how do you take time to sort of recharge? You're in a very creative role as well. You're making a lot of decisions for the business, but you've also got to be the visionary as the founder. How do you create that time to take time to establish vision, create? Do you schedule it in?
Hard. It's really hard. It's really hard is the short answer. You know, for me, I do try to, I probably say I think most big picture at off hours. You know, it's hard to schedule it in the middle of the day when you're in it and, you know, you're talking to the team and you're building. So it comes up for me a lot, either post workout in the morning, all, you know, over breakfast is a really nice time for me to start to get creative. And sometimes I listen to podcasts and start to think about, like, oh, we could do that. And, you know, how do we do that? Or conversely, late at night, when I've kind of shut down the emails and, you know, I have a chance to kind of let my brain think a little bit. Sometimes late at night in the shower is a really good time for me to think about big vision and how do we, you know, really get there.
Yeah, it's so important that we do have those times, right? Because you and I were just chatting before we went into the interview, and I just got back from Maui, and I take a week every year, and all I do is say, what is the vision? Where are we at compared to where we wanted to be? How can we be more, better, different? And even though I'll do some work there in Maui, because they're behind, so I'll work from like 5 a.m. to 1 or something like that, I always come back with so many powerful, actionable things. And a founder has constantly got to be innovating. They've constantly got to be casting the vision, right? So let's talk about Wellery. Where did it come from? And you know, what made you say, oh my gosh, this is something, it's not I want to do it, because a lot of people want to do things, but it became a must and something you did.
Yeah. Let's see. So where did it come from? Wellery started, the idea came from personal experience. So when I was in college, I was terrified of gaining the freshman 15. I did what mass media told me to do at the time, which was go on a diet. I'm a type A personality, so when I do something, I really do it. And I dieted like crazy for 4 years. And unfortunately, at the end of school, after many years of dieting and hoping for the guaranteed results, I actually ended up very sick. Mm-hmm. Doctors prescribed me with a series of chronic illnesses and said, you know, take this medication and you'll be fine. And for me, I said, there has to be a better way. I was an athlete my whole life. I was, you know, relatively healthy. And all of a sudden to have these diagnoses, it felt like something was wrong. And I knew pretty intuitively, okay, there was something that I had done to my body to actually like mask this. So why? And long story short, I ended up finding nutrition as my cure. I went to a school called the Institute for Integrative Nutrition, became a certified health coach. Through that experience, learned over 100 different dietary theories, learned the art and belief of what's called bioindividuality, which means one person's food is another person's poison. And through that experience, cured myself, utilizing the power of food as medicine and food as fuel. And so when I did that, I then told every single person I knew about this very transformative and impactful experience. And what I found was everyone in my life, family, friends, neighbors, colleagues, you name it, everyone had their own story, their own relationship with food, and no one knew where to turn. Mm. I then sought out other health coaches and other nutritionists and dietitians. And what I learned on that side of the market was that they were also suffering, and very few RDs or nutritionists or health coaches knew where to find resources, lacking innovation, lacking technology, lacking consumer opportunities, brand, et cetera. So I started to look at the United States first, and you know what you find is amongst everything else that's going on in the world, we're currently undergoing a national nutrition crisis. Our obesity rates are, you know, skyrocketing. Diabetic rates are skyrocketing. For the first time ever, our life expectancy is declining due to diet-related disease. Yeah. Currently, the number one leading cause of mortality in the United States is poor diet. So long story short, I became obsessed with this idea of how do we help the hundreds of millions of Americans who are struggling with a healthy relationship with food, and how do we help the hundreds of thousands of nutrition experts who can help, and how do we put those two together, built on a culturally relevant brand and backed by technology so that we can scale. And so with that, you know, you mentioned, when did it kind of become, go from an idea to a need? I had this idea that was brewing, and it stopped becoming a need. It stopped becoming an idea. It was something that was taking over my life. It was the only thing I could think about, you know, I was keeping up on, like, so at some point it was just, I knew I had to do it. I didn't see a solution out there that was solving for this massive pain point. And I took the jump and kind of never looked back.
That's an incredible story, Emily, because firstly, I love it. For 15 years, I was a holistic nutritionist. I taught nutrition at the college level, and people would come to me and say, well, I want to lose weight. And I was a bit of a badass. I'd say, okay, put your leg on my desk and I'll cut it off and you'll lose weight. But if you want to get healthy, I'm your girl. Yeah. And the thing I learned over that time, yes, there are different types of diets, not the names of diets, but there was, like, well, just generalized, like high carb, low fat. That was very popular in the 90s. Then there's like high fat, low carb, low protein, you know, the list goes on and on. And the reality is, it's not that, you know, one person can eat the same way as millions of people. That's one. And number two, the other thing I found, cause I'm on a quest. I'm like, you know, I had Dave Asprey on my show, and he's biohacking his life. And I find the closer I get to 50, and I'm super freaking pumped about it because it's 22 months away. It's like, I keep biohacking and going, what's right for me, right? And what nutrition is right for me so I can feel optimal. So how will the technology work? And by that, I mean, I guess, like the user interface. So how will users engage with Wellery?
So thank you for sharing that, by the way, because, and also you look phenomenal.
Thank you. I drank this before our interview. It's my green, gloopy, delicious. It's like, yeah, anyway.
What you're doing is working. So I bow down. But the reason I say that too is because everything we do at Wellery is focused on personalization. Mm. We call ourselves the anti-diet app, because we do not believe in diets. We do not prescribe a do this and a don't do that. We never use the word don't. We never use the word shouldn't. Those are not things that you will hear or read at Wellery, because our focus, our methodology is hyper, 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 hyper attentive to personalization. Mm. What that means, when a customer downloads the Wellery app, we're available in the App Store as well as Google Play. They answer a series of questions about themselves. They create a profile. Based on that information, we then match you with the right Wellery nutritionist for you. From there, you're prompted to take photos of everything you're eating and share it with your nutrition coach. And then we actually create a personalized plan for you based on getting to know you. So we get to see, okay, here's what your lifestyle looks like. Here's what you like. Here's what you don't like. And here's what your goals are. We are then going to create a meal-by-meal approach that will help you build healthy habits. So we work with our clients to help to build a breakfast habit, then a lunch habit, then a dinner habit. And that personalized plan comes with education, comes with recommended products, comes with recommended recipes, but all based on who you are, what your goals are, and what your preferences are, and built on healthy foundation so that it is hyper-personalized to you. And it's not just a blanket advice that says, you know, drink this, don't drink that, and you'll be fine.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Our body is, for people who don't know, it's 100 trillion cells, right? And so they're all unique. There are some fundamental truths in nutrition, and we're going to talk about those. So back to my green gloopy drink. So that drink is organic celery, organic lemon juice, water, spirulina, like a whole bunch of stuff. So one of the universal truths of nutrition is we need fruits and vegetables every day. The Framingham study that was done over 30 years illustrated that 5 to 7 servings of fresh fruits and vegetables a day would reduce a person's risk of cancer by 70%. So things like water, different things. So let's talk about the fundamental truths of nutrition, because you know what? Not enough people talk about them. And yes, some of them are hard to do, but you mentioned the word habit, right? So what are some of the, everyone listening, like what are some things that across the board of us 8 billion humans are fundamentals?
Yeah, great question. I would say there are about 3 things that are the foundation of our methodology. Mm-hmm. One is from packaged food to real food. Mm-hmm. We eat so much packaged chemical food, especially in the United States. And one of the things we at Wellery are helping our clients learn how to do more and more of is how to actually eat real food. Mm-hmm. Fruits and vegetables, animal protein, if that's, you know, of someone's interest, plant protein. Like, how do we actually just help people cook more, shop at the grocery store? It doesn't mean it has to be more expensive products, but just real food instead of packaged food. So that's one.
Yep.
Number 2, I believe this is about 80% of Americans are dehydrated. Drink your water. Mm-hmm. For anyone listening, there's an easy hack, which is you can start with the equation, take about half of your body weight, put that in ounces, and that's how much water you should be drinking a day.
And Diet Coke, friends, is not water. Like, no. I just like, there's water is water. And I drink a lot of decaf herbal tea. That is a water substitute because it's when it's cold in the winter, you might not want to drink cold water. So I just wanted to throw that in as a PSA for water.
Yes, drink your water. Another easy, quick tip or hack, put lemon in your water, put cucumber in your water, any fruit in your water. That's a really nice way to just give it a little bit of flavor for those folks who are, you know, against drinking a lot of water. And then the other thing that I would say we focus on a lot is the fruits and vegetables. You know, just adding more greens, filling half your plate at lunch and dinner with vegetables.
Yep.
If you're hungry, that's okay. Eat more veggies. You know, really trying to focus on how do we just help more people around the country eat vegetables, eat fruit and vegetables, but really, you know, how can you fill 50% of your plate with veggies and helping, you know, helping people learn how to do that in a really easy, cost-efficient way. It doesn't have to be hard.
No, for sure. And it does take a little bit of prep, and I'll go back to this bottle because it's kind of funny, the story. So I currently am overseeing 4 companies right now. And in, thank you.
Really are.
So in 3 of those roles, I am in the C-suite co-CEO or CEO role. And so my time is very, you know, it's very, very scheduled. And so what I started doing on Sundays, and I was like, how can I, because this is the hack question, how can I get even more vegetables in my diet? And so I went on Amazon and I bought these made in the USA glass jars. I like drinking things out of glass jars, like mason jars, whatever it is. It just tastes better in a glass jar. I don't know. And so then, you know, I'm like, I'm just going to blend this stuff up in the Vitamix on Sundays. And then I pour it in all of my jars. And today when I was running from my home office to my office, I just grabbed the jars out of the fridge, put them in my lunch bag, and I'm off to the races. I like a plant protein shake in a glass jar, my greens in a glass jar. And some of you might be like, well, Susan, why aren't you chewing food? Well, there's a couple of reasons. I do love to chew food. When I'm recording a lot of shows, I drink for a couple of hours because I don't want anything stuck in my teeth. There's my vanity thing, right? But you like soups, you can make some delicious soups on a weekend. You can make up your juices. Like, I love juices as much as the next person, but so, there's $1.7 trillion in student loan debt in the United States. You don't need to go to a store and buy $15 juice that you can make at home. Like the, you know, so I know I could be on my pedestal, like talking about
I love it. We, you know, one of the easiest hacks of staying healthy is just preparation.
Yeah.
That's really all it is. Just preparation. Go to the grocery store, get the things you like, prep on a Sunday. You know, you can go to our website, wellery.com. We have a ton of easy recipes to how to make quick 5 to 10 minute meals. It doesn't have to be expensive. It doesn't have to be hard. You just need to know how to do it.
Yeah. That's
how to do it.
So wellery.com to get the recipes. I have two more quick questions. One is, where's the company going to be in 5 years? Like, cast us into the future.
World domination. That's what I like to say. You know, when I think about 5 years from now, it's so exciting. It's also, you know, I'm like, we have so much to do before we get there. But things that we think about deeply are, how do we expand our offering outside of just the US? We've actually got a ton of inbound from potential clients all over the country and in many different countries. So, you know, in 5 years, how do we think about global expansion is really important to us. How do we think about really innovating in our technology? It's probably the hot topic that the team talks about every day, which is, what more can we do? How do we leverage technology to make our customer experience smarter? How do we leverage technology to make our coach experience more efficient and productive? Because, you know, in our business, we not only have our clients, but we also have our coaches. And then how do we really get Wellery in the hands of as many people as possible, so that if we do our job right in 5 years from now, we will significantly decrease the amount of people who are getting sick. We will significantly increase life expectancy. So people who are eating healthy are living longer. How do we really change the conversation around nutrition, so it becomes an easy part of everyone's life, and it's not something that is a last priority on someone's to-do, but actually eating healthy becomes a top priority. And so that's really the conversation and the mission statement that we're after.
I loved how there is no hesitation. It was like world domination. I advise different startups. So I was with one of my startups yesterday, and he said, well, we have this other company and someone's making an acquisition offer. And he goes, I think I need you. He goes, I need someone with that chutzpah who's not going to back down in these negotiations. I'm like, yeah, of course. Like, you know, you're not going to hesitate. And I love that. I see, one of the things I see for you is, and it's so beautiful, I see, like, down the road in 5 years, some really powerful JVs that'll probably come up. There are a lot of people addressing the exercise space, but they don't know how to address the nutrition space. I think it's going to be beautiful. So my final question, this is for the person who's sitting here going, oh my gosh, Emily, you're an inspiration. And I've been thinking about an idea, but I haven't turned it into a business. What advice would you give to that person? Because you said, and I love this, it's like, I became obsessed and I couldn't stop thinking about it. What advice would you give to that person, like those initial steps to go from idea to an actual business?
Yeah, probably a few things come up. The first, I would say, the hardest thing to do is to just do it. Like, to just take that jump, put a splash page up, you know, put a Facebook post out, whatever it is, start and tell 5 friends. The best thing to do to first do it is to get it out of your head and get it out somewhere, whatever you're comfortable with. But, you know, as you start to think about building a company, you need to start getting data. You need to start getting responses. You need to start getting feedback. So do that as early on, as quickly as possible, because you will learn how people respond to what you're building. And that will help you shape and mold your idea to get it to a place that you will say, I know exactly what I'm doing and how to get there. So my biggest piece of advice to anyone starting is, start talking about it, put it out there, you know, tell everyone you know. I remember quickly, you know, very funny, when I was first starting to think about this, I kept my idea so close to home. I was so scared to tell anyone. I thought people were going to steal my idea. You know, I was like, I just can't tell anyone. And one of my friends who's the founder said to me, so much about company building is execution. Mm. You know, 100 people, everyone has a great idea. It only takes a few to actually bring it to life. So the best thing you can do is start bringing it to life. Tell people, get it out there. It's going to be okay. Like, it's scary, but it's not that scary. And so my biggest piece of advice is, just start getting it out there. Start today. Don't start tomorrow. If you're listening, like, start literally right now and keep breathing life into it. And then you will see what will happen and you know, how it comes to life and how it shapes and molds over the many conversations or feedback or, you know, responses you get to your idea.
Emily, that is fantastic. Execution. Stop thinking about it. Just do it. Yes, the world is crazy, but just do it. Take action. And I want to thank you so much. I know that Wellery is going to be a household name. Whether you are, you know, ringing the bell for the New York Stock Exchange or you're on the cover of Fast Company for a massive acquisition, wherever that leads you. Thank you again, Emily, for being here and being an inspiration to women founders. I think it's so important that we all connect and we get the message out that yes, you can, right? So, and check out Wellery.com, everyone. And if this episode has been helpful, Emily and I would love unabashedly a 5-star review on iTunes. Share it off iTunes, Spotify. If you're on YouTube, hit the like button, hit the share button. And again, thanks, Emily, for being here.
Thank you so much for having me, Susan. Really appreciate it. Talk soon.
All right. Thanks, Emily. God bless. Goodbye, everyone. And this has been another episode of the Susan Sly Project.
To find out more about Susan or hire her to speak, go to www.susansly.com. You can also find Susan on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn.